program.
It's time for action, gentlemen.
Do you know very hot?
Program complete. Listen when ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Nerd Trek podcast. I am your host for the day, David, and I am here, as always, with Philip.
Hey, everybody.
And Jeffrey.
Hi. I'm still working on my opening catchphrase. I can't think of anything. So
saying hi.
Hi, like that's
750
it.
Episodes. Why would you have figured it out now?
Well, because I did the hosting before. I had a whole spiel. It was a thing.
You did.
It's a thing.
And back for even more punishment is Stephanie Rose, our favorite current guest. Yay! I was going to say favorite guest flat out, and I was like, ooh, that's a...
We have a lot of amazing guests.
You can't upset other people like that.
We've had too many amazing guests for me to try and play favorites.
Yeah, because if Saya heard that, she would literally like stab us.
Yeah, and she's within reach most of the time. all right, today we are doing the episode Little Green Men, which first it is season something. We're in four, I think, right? Season four, episode eight. It originally aired on November 15th, 1995. And it has, you know, Ferengis doing time travel shenanigans and not changing our history, actually, but just filling in some of the holes in U.S. history.
David's favorite episodes.
Time travel.
Timey-wimey bullshit episodes.
We will get to what I think in a bit. But,
I have no doubt. That's why I'm waiting for this one.
But I definitely think we should start with our guests. Stephanie, what did you think of Little Green Men?
Oh, I think this is a really, really fun episode. It's so over the top, Ferengi, you know, centric. And I love the time travel element. That's one of my favorite things. But it's also just so, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. It's just, it's still kind of wholesome. And, you know, like the end just kind of comes in and you're like, oh, okay. But I love the Ferengis. They're probably my favorite characters. My little half-Jewish heart just, like, relates to them so much at times. And I'm just like, let me sell all of my treasures and make some money. And, you know, so, every Ferengi episode is kind of one of my favorites, to be honest.
Okay. That is an interesting thing. We kind of see some good and bad sides of Ferengi culture here because they have the whole thing where Nog sells his possessions to try and go. And apparently that's, like, their... Runspringer or whatever. It's like when they're sending their people off.
Runspringer.
That's so he can raise his capital and go out into the galaxy.
Well, he can't go to, you know, America without some latinum. Like,
it's true. Right?
That was the interesting thing. I'm like, he's on a currently Starfleet ran station and he's going to be going to Starfleet headquarters. They can't give him a ride. He has to like drum up money to get there.
Right. But,
especially because they don't use currency. So, like, it's just kind of funny because they're a moneyless culture, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It supposedly won't do much good on Earth.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And which is funny because Quark's like all against it. I'm like, you'd think he'd want him to sell all the stuff and, like, give him the money because he's not going to need it.
Like, yeah. And with Quark having his little, like, behind the scenes motive, as always, you know, like, he didn't really need that extra money. He was trying to make a bunch of money behind everybody's back. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Jeff, what did you think of the episode?
So, I mean, I knew about it. Like, I had never seen it, but, like, I knew about it just kind of through Star Trek osmosis. But it's just a fun one. It's just, again, it, you know, it throws in how stupid humans are in the 40s and even now. Because he's like, why would they radiate their own planet? And then they're like, we're, you know, banging our heads. And it's like, it's just... It's just fun to kind of see the interaction and how like Quark doesn't even want to take over the planet. He just wants to start like selling shit. Like that's what he wants to do.
He's like, who's the highest bidder? I'll sell whatever technology and weapons I can.
Yeah. So this is an typical enjoyable one. This is fun. Yeah.
And there's some really fun moments too, like when their translators aren't working and, you know, they're trying to communicate with the Earthlings and the Earthlings are like tapping their heads and trying to
Because they're whacking their heads like, trying to reboot their universal translators.
I love that. And when he's just like trying to reset the button inside of it with the hairpin, and she's like, oh my God, that has to hurt. Let me rub on your ears for you.
Umox incoming.
Yeah. Plus I always like a chance to hear like, of the other languages. Cause yeah. we don't really, yeah. so just to hear how weird it sounds and then how English sounds to them. It's always cool.
Yeah. Well, and that just that effect that they did on the universal translators, like, and you're like, because you can tell they're still trying to speak English. It's just like getting garbled. Like, so it's like a bad cell phone.
It sounds like an early 2000 cell phone call, exactly.
Basically.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I really like this episode. It's fun. And like you guys said, we get to hear the Ferengi language spoken really for the first time, which is kind of cool. And apparently they brought in kind of like they did for Klingon, where it's got sentence structure and syntax and grammar to it. So they could potentially develop the full language if they wanted to, I guess. But
I was gonna say, is that a language you can learn like Klingon? Like, is it fully developed or?
As far as I know, it hasn't gone anywhere, but the language that is in there is a developed language. So they could do it.
Have any of you guys signed up for the Harvard class, the free one for learning Klingon?
To learn Klingon? No.
I have not. I'm not good with languages. Like, I know a few words
in
Spanish.
But I signed up for it twice, and both times I just kind of, like, got too busy and stopped paying attention to the classes online whenever I was supposed to be going. But I am so serious about trying to learn it at some point.
That would be awesome. I think there's a troop.
It needs to show up on Duolingo.
Oh, hell yeah.
Give me my 1,000-day Duolingo streak of Klingon.
Yeah. I think there's a group every so often they'll actually do like Macbeth or something in Klingon.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they'll actually do like a full
The traditional way.
Yeah.
And there's also those sisters that perform that sing in Klingon. Have you seen them before?
I think so. Yeah, they've been.
They are
some
like the most
cons.
Amazing duo, and they have the best stage presence as well. But like they sing classics in Klingon, and it is just incredible.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea that existed.
Well, it does.
It's not terribly surprising, but I didn't know it existed.
You didn't? They must have been in Vegas when we went. I just don't remember seeing them.
They have been in Vegas a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I did like the part where Nog was reading through like the Earth history book, and he gets to the Bell riots. And he's like, this Gabriel Bell guy really looks a lot like Captain Sisko. And there he's like in his jacket.
Yeah, that was a great like continuity thing.
I dig that.
And then, of course, Quark, all humans look alike. Like,
racist.
Mm-hmm. They all look the same.
Yeah. Well, and then just that whole opening where it's like you actually kind of get to see everyone and they're sending Nog off. And then even like Worf is like super grumpy about it. And then he's like, ooh, a teeth sharpener.
A tooth sharpener, yes. That's great.
And Worf's like, oh,
I want this.
Immediately, sticks it in his mouth and is like trying it. Like, oh,
he does it for 2 seconds. How much?
That's so good.
Oh. Well, yeah, so I hadn't seen this one before I watched it. And when I saw the name was Little Green Men, in my mind, I went, oh, watch, they're going to, like, go back to the Roswell incident.
Oh, God.
Basically.
Yes, they did.
And then it started. So, timey-wimey crap aside, because don't get me wrong, I'm used to now the Star Trek BS time travel thing, something they're smuggling mixes with this warp thing, and they whoosh. And then, of course, the actual, if you had something like that, the chances that you would go back to when you had left is so out of there, even if it worked. So yeah. I was like, I smelled a little bullshit there. But
I cannot wait till we get to Discovery.
I was about to say, I have to interject on this because now Discovery comes along and everybody wants to cry about the fact that there's no time travel in Star Trek or that it's too magical instead of science fiction. And I'm just sitting here like, what about these episodes? You know, there's so many mm-hmm. episodes throughout the entire, like all across Star Trek, not just this series, where they have incidents like this. But everybody is upset about Discovery specifically.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Have you gotten there yet?
No. This is as far as I've seen.
This is it.
This is it. I haven't seen Voyager or any Enterprise or anything beyond it. It's all.
See, I come up with like loving nicknames for a lot of the series, and for me, Discovery is like Magic School Bus, and And Enterprise is like Dragon Space, you know? So it's like there are levels to the different, you know, ridiculous elements in the different series, but
okay. At least Discovery's is based in science, like the mycelial network and everything. Or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's true. They were doing like silly time travel things, even with like TOS. What's the one where they ended up on the Air Force base and he's like, oh, Starfleet sent us back in time on purpose to go like monitor them just for fun and then come back. And you're like, is that like a routine thing just to go? That'd be weird.
Right.
But yeah, because apparently you can just slingshot yourself in reverse to like go like nothing will probably upset me more time travel wise than them being like, well, if we do the same thing but we go backwards, then we'll go back to it. I was like,
couldn't that work in Back to the Future? He just puts it in reverse and goes to 88. That works.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly how he does it.
Dude, I can barely do 5 miles an hour in reverse. Imagine getting up to 88. Like, shit, look behind you. Like,
that'd be so good.
It would only be one movie. He'd try to get back and dead. Just splat on a tree. Like, on a wall.
I mean, or there's episodes in TOS too, like City on the Edge of Forever, you know, where it's basically like Stargate. It's just a portal that just, you know, slingshots you into another time. And nobody talks about that. Like, everybody just.
Oh, we talked about it. We've talked about it, but yes.
And I love that episode. That's actually one of my favorites, but it just seems like when people complain about the newer series like Discovery, they completely forget about, you know, what is canon in Star Trek to begin with.
Yeah, people's memory tends to be very selective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, in short. No.
Well, yeah, there's always some bullshit, like weird alien that can just do it, or a portal opens up because something did something else. And things magically align. It just happens. Or like, cause I mean, have we ever heard of calcite before and suddenly it's being smuggled in and it causes temporal rifts?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't even like say why it's illegal or what it's used for or any of that. Just like, oh, it's profitable. So they're doing it, which is about all we needed. Right.
That's it. Fair.
Like we can make money.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, so timey wimey BS aside, all that bullshit. I've accepted it well enough, so I didn't have a huge problem. That was the only thing that went through my head was there's no way they would have gone back to the same time. They'd be like 3 years off or something. Who knows? Even if they got it close, like they shoot over that many years. But of course, the magic of television, they have to return back to like pretty much when they had left. But other than that, I actually did like a lot of it. I love the Roswell incident. I have researched it a lot. And so a lot of the stuff they said was dead on. They were like, oh, that idiot like told them. And then now it's a weather balloon. It's a weather balloon.
Yeah.
And just the Martians, calling them Martians over and over and over again. Cause we were like obsessed with that back then. And then I was like, well, watch. And then they're going to leave and they're going to go back. And that's why nobody's ever seen the Roswell aliens really. And like, I thought they did a good job because it's neat when they do that and they're not altering anything. It's just now they're filling in the blank that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I always feel like that's kind of the more fun time travel ones of like they go back and they don't change anything because it's already accounted for. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this thing already happened, which was just fantastic. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like the shuttle busts out of the hangar and they take off and the guy's what happened? He's like, you didn't see nothing.
What are we going to do about what?
We
found a weather balloon.
Nothing happened. Like,
this didn't happen. Good. You didn't see anything. even the language stuff, the Universal Translator was great. And then when he's like, oh, I thought more advanced, they would communicate by telepathy. And I was like, well, the Ferengi do have like the big
globes.
Look at the big lobes on Quark. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, it's a structured language. And like, they have same similar family stuff. And it does make you think that like everything in Star Trek, and we've talked about this, like Star Wars has those really weird aliens that are nothing like humans. And all of them in Star Trek are humanoid and have similar family structures. And like, even though they have different cultures, the cultures are fairly similar. Like we don't see a lot of really really, really different stuff. You know, one's based on a mafia book, Discluded.
Yeah. Well, because I think part of it is just like the budget, you know, when they were, I mean, I think they introduced the Tholians in TOS and like you see them for like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't actually know what mm-hmm. they really look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they did a little bit of that. The Medusans, you know, being like non-corporeal and stuff like that. They tried. They definitely did try. But yeah, it was budget and time and being a TV show and not movies and all that.
Yeah. I think TOS tried a little harder than a lot of the other series did, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have like the Horda and the Gorn at least. I mean, it's like a bipedal, but it was more lizardy. And it's,
right.
Yeah. No, they tried. Absolutely. You know, you throw a costume on a dog and it's a weird alien.
Yeah, but I guess it is. It's interesting to see that kind of dissipate. Like by now, they don't use puppets for anything, which is how half of the Star Wars creatures were made, was just puppetry. And they I'm sure now it's a little more because we got CGI and everything, but. They seem to have shied away from that.
Especially when you talk to Kirk Thatcher, who was a lovely man, by the way.
Our good friend, Kirk Thatcher.
That we met for like 2 minutes.
Wow, good friend.
Good friend. We're besties now.
He doesn't know it, but we are.
Oh, that was
no,
lovely.
I really wish that they would have incorporated a little bit more of that throughout all of Star Trek, but I love practical application for like specifically, that's just my taste. I love puppetry. I love practical makeup. I love, you know, actual physical pieces that, you know, they just look different on camera and it doesn't, CGI just loses that. You know, it's like the way that recording has changed over the years. You know, when you listen to something on a record versus a CD, you lose a little bit of that warmth and that depth. And I feel it's the same way visually for practical application. You lose that with CGI. And I just think that it was a different time, a different era. And that's probably why it's so nostalgic as well. But it is, you know, nice to see it pop back every once in a while when they do things, you know. I mean, I love some of the makeup on Discovery. I will say like their stuff has gotten really, really good again. And it has some amazing elements to it. And there's some things that I want to cosplay from that so badly, but oh my gosh, can you imagine how much that would cost to just make it?
Oh yeah. And there's some really like detailed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So do they, okay. So I'm going to go a roundabout way on this. So quoting back to one of the most underrated movies ever made, Green Lantern, one of the few things that I actually really liked out of that was when he's examining the body and he's like, it's just the fact that it's humanoid, like denotes the idea that it may have a common ancestry, like all of us and everything. Do they ever cover that in Star Trek at any point? Like the fact that all of them are essentially very
similar. Yeah, we had a whole fucking episode about it.
Yeah, you've watched it.
Remind me again.
So about 200 episodes ago.
Yeah. Welcome all the way back to 5th season of TNG.
Yeah, it's the one where Picard, his old mentor, Galen,
like, Professor Galen.
Yeah, Galen comes on, he's on this mission, and they find, like, what's parts of DNA from different planets, and there's, like, Cardassians and Klingons following them, and they're all...
Oh,
the result is like, oh, you're all seeds of us.
They combine it together, and you get, like, the person with, like, the... kind of nondescript looking face, and they're like,
changeling.
If you put this together, okay. We've seeded the galaxy, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
okay, all right, fair enough. I was like, did they ever touch on it again in a better way? Because that thing sucked, like,
god damn,
no.
Oh, come on, I think we ripped that episode apart at the time.
I love that episode,
like, I like that episode a lot. What are you talking about?
I think I ripped that episode,
okay, yeah, you and the mouse in your pocket, who's right, this we?
Not a... Oh, come on. I'm not going to remember what you guys think of it. I just know what
clearly.
okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really come up ever again, I don't think.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not like that. Not like in an Origins kind of way.
Yeah. No.
No.
But yeah, and then Quark figures out, when the moment he figures out how to talk to them, he's like, sure, we'll sell you everything about, like, almost everything. He was going to give humans like all of the most advanced technologies except for warp capability, which he was going to send to. Oh, that reminds me, you know how we talked about Klingons kept calling it the Klingon homeworld until like Kronos was named?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in this, when he says I'm going to send the shuttle back, he doesn't say it to Ferenginar, he says I'm going to send it back to the Ferengi homeworld. Did they not have a name for it yet? I could have swore we've heard it in the series. Puzzled faces. Puzzled faces.
It's that silence when all the nerds are thinking.
Yeah, it's my nerd. It's my nerd Rolodex going.
you can hear the in my brain really going, fast.
I don't.
Well, okay. So to kind of skip ahead, because the next episode is a very Klingon heavy one, and I just watched it about 30 minutes ago. So I know
it's super fresh in your head.
Super fresh.
Me too.
in that episode, Worf talks about Kronos and he says the Klingon homeworld. So they kind of use it like interchangeably.
Yeah.
I get that, but I'm trying to think if we've heard the word Ferenginar before. Okay, so the first time it was used is in the episode Family Business. So the first time they used it was the one with Moogie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
When they actually go there, I guess is the first time they named it. Okay, so yeah, it just sounded weird because I was like, if you're a Ferengi talking about going to the Ferengi homeworld, you'd use its name and like, I don't know. It struck a weird chord and I was like, I need to mention that.
You don't want to go back to the human homeworld?
the human homeworld.
Human homeworld.
This is weird.
It is funny. You'd think they would call us Earthlings. Like, because that's the name of our planet. All the other ones, it's relatively similar. Although, I guess Klingons and Kronos is a weird one. But, like, they're both hard K sounding words at the beginning. But that's about it.
Yeah, but then you got the Cardassians from Cardassia Prime. Ferengis from Ferenginar. Vulcans from Vulcan. Yeah, that's weird.
Interesting, yeah.
Klingon should have been from Klingadorian. Klingadorian.
This takes all the, like, the honor and fighting out of them.
Scary at all, yeah.
Or something else, Klingy. Should have been from our homeworld at Klingy. Oh,
it's probably just, great. Like, it's probably Klingon is the English word for whatever it's really, like, for Kronos, but, like, that's how they had to dumb it down for us.
Ooh, that makes sense.
I guess that is always, you could filter it through the translator, like the translator's choosing to say it this way or that way. And that's how we're hearing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a weird
that
moment
works
in there.
For human languages too. Like when you translate certain things, it doesn't always sound the same or translate the same. So, you know, there's some words that we don't have in English that, you know, would not properly describe something in another language, but.
That's true. And you kind of get that like Spanglish. Yeah.
Because you filter it through. Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually surprised when Odo showed up in this one. Which, by the way,
I love when he shows up. He's always just like coming in to just lay down the law, just be like the daddy figure, you know? Like
he just pops in.
Absolutely. But we see him. We have two things that Odo changes into or from or whatever.
He does.
Oh, I remember one from this.
The German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Yep. And I had to go back. I actually... For the first time, I think I stopped an episode, went back and watched a part again because I was like, "Ooh, what did he come from? Does anybody know what the other one was?"
Other one.
I do, but I'll let the other because I had to do the exact same thing. I'm like, because I saw him shapeshift, but I was like, "What was it?" So.
I just remember the dog. I don't remember the other one.
Phil? Phil is racking his brain so hard. Yeah, I can hear the little hamster just squeak, 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 squeak. All right.
It's going to kill him.
It's the tire on the back of the Jeep when they're trying to escape.
Oh. Like, that was really quick, but yeah.
Their perpetual spare tire.
Yeah, it was. And I just remember, if it's German Shepherd times two, I wanted to know. And I was like, oh no, there's no German Shepherd. Oh, it's the tire. Okay. So, yes, we had two Odo changes into a German Shepherd and a Jeep tire. Where do we want to count Ferengi shenanigans in this
one? I was thinking about that.
Yeah, because divvying them up is going to be an interesting one. So I will propose the first one might be him smuggling the stuff to Earth.
That's just business.
Why can't shenanigans be business?
Because literally every day would be like a shenanigan then.
Right? That's
I would argue that him trying to alter history would be a shenanigan.
Yes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's like, I know everything about you people. Baseball, root beer, darts. Which is Adam Ball.
He's absolutely right. It is like very 40s.
God, I love when he's talking about
prune juice.
you know, when she's talking about going to Niagara Falls for their honeymoon, I'm like, that is so stereotypically 40s. It was just the cutest little, you know, nod. I loved it. Which I grew up there. So, you know, I grew up like 10 minutes away from Niagara Falls. So every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, it used to be popular once.
Yes, yes, it was. Let's see. Any other shenanigans in this? Like, Nog definitely doesn't do any.
Well,
Rom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Nog getting Nurse Garland to, like, keep doing Umox on him.
You know what? I would say that is one. Yes, that would definitely be
those
one.
Those are shenanigans for sure.
It's definitely a mini shenanigan, but it's a shenanigan.
He
we don't count the size of our shenanigans.
Doesn't matter.
Size doesn't matter.
Size doesn't matter.
He tricks the guard into untying him, and then he hits him.
That's true. Okay, so third shenanigan.
You guys can vote on it.
When he's like, it's on the map, it's over here, and it's there. It's this blue blob is down. Blap. Yeah, blap. I would say that is shenanigan like.
They're landing in Cleveland.
Yeah, the first of the landing party is going to invade Cleveland.
Let's see what else. Yeah, I feel like there was a lot. Or maybe him. Him saying that they're going to invade, and everything. Anyways, that was Nog, wasn't it?
Oh no. Well, okay. If you're going to nitpick it that much, but he's just trying to get out of the situation.
Yeah, I guess that would be, I would include that with the map and everything of like getting untied. It was all kind of one shenanigan. Yeah, and he's like, we're going to invade and there's ships just out in space and we're about to take you all out. Blah. Okay. Any others we could think of, or we stop it at three? We don't get episodes where we get to have a multiple shenanigan count, so.
True. So enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Three's good. I don't hear any.
I think we're good with three. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Accurate.
And there did we have any deaths this episode? I'm trying to think. I don't believe we did.
No, just a couple of people got knocked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Old double fist to the back of the head.
You know.
The Kirk maneuver.
Kirk Fu.
All right. So that brings our death totals. We have our TOS deaths of 1650, our TNG deaths of 30,028, and our DS9 deaths are going to stay at 20,310 for a total of 51,988. So that 52,000 mark is coming up. We've gone from 27 to 30 Ferengi shenanigans, and now Odo has changed into a rat, a chair twice, a shit in a bucket three times, a food cart, painting, a drinking glass, assorted goo twice, a container pad, tripwire, a serving cart, a top that Phil had as a child, Mr. Fantastic, splatter on the wall, a vulture, a key hand, he did the full blendy, he was a backpack grenade, he took a T-1000 gunshot, he was a Kira shield, he was a melted popsicle, he turned into Curzon Dax, he was a bird, he was a You Are Here marker, he was a bag of dirty latinum, and he was a German shepherd in a Jeep tire.
You bag of dirty latinum.
The Latinum is my favorite one still.
I think the full blendy might still be my favorite.
And the full blendy.
I just enjoy that every time.
Every time. It's a great.
It's very satisfying.
By the time we get to the end of this, I'm going to be like, all right.
We're going to dedicate a 10-minute segment to it by the end.
Well, so I've started using a program to edit this that makes like little clips. That was one of the ones that I played last week when I posted it on TikTok. And it always pulls that as like one of the options, but I haven't posted it yet. So I think I might post that with this episode.
Oh, you totally need to post that. TikTok is all about those short sound clips like that.
Yeah. Let's see. He left Morn in charge of the bar. That was interesting. We've never heard Morn speak, have we?
No.
No? Yeah. Okay. So that's going to be interesting.
That's why he's perfect to run the bar.
Yeah.
Great conversation. He sits quietly list.
And drinks.
Yeah. I guess bartenders are supposed to be good listeners. I'm just kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the part, too, where, you know, Rom's explaining all the, like, shit that he's doing. And then Cork is like, when did you get so smart? He's like, I've always been smart. I just have confidence now. You're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I like self-confidence. Yeah.
A nerd with confidence. Yeah.
I love to see it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was great. And speaking of which, that's when he decides to use an atom bomb explosion to combine that with whatever they were hauling to apparently precisely get back to exactly when they had left. Yeah. That was the timey-wimey bullshit, but that's how they get back. Timey-wimey crap. And then he has to sell the shuttle for scrap, apparently. Why did they say he had to do that? I just remember he had to, like... Was it just too broken to fix, or... Because he seemed really mad that he didn't have it anymore.
I don't know that they ever explained that.
Well, because they had to book passage back. Why did he sell it?
Is that what it was? They had to sell it to get back?
But why not just fly it? Or did they get... I don't remember this.
No, I thought it got...
Yeah, like impounded or something?
I thought so, because of the chemo site. Maybe not.
They destroyed all the chemo site.
No, yeah, to book them passage home. So he got enough from selling the shuttle for salvage to book them passage home. So that's what it was. It must not have been running anymore. And not that they would have wanted to, too, because it was sabotaged. And that's what started the whole problem in the first place. It's just funny. They're so suspicious. And then he's like, yeah, it's perfectly fine. And I'm like, and you're still going to be like, let's take a trip in this thing.
I just like how it's family, but he's still like, screw Quark. I'm going to try and kill him.
Yeah. Which is funny, because that's not a very Ferengi thing to do, necessarily. They try and profit off of it somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how cousin, what's their name, profits from him, other than cousin not having Galen. To pay him back. But it sounded like cousin Galen wasn't going to pay him back anyways.
So. Funny enough, cousin Galen appeared in my Star Trek Timelines game this week.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, wow, coincidences. Hmm.
We also found out the names of Ferengi Heaven and Ferengi Hell. Which is the Great Treasury, and what was the other one?
The Divine Treasury, and...
It's like the Great Hall of...
Destitution or something.
Destitution, I think, or something like that. And he's like, it couldn't, the bar was turning a profit, so apparently... Whether
the Vault, the Vault of Eternal Destitution.
Vault of Eternal Destitution. So yeah, apparently, if you're a Ferengi, whether you go to heaven or hell completely depends on if you're making money when you die. Like, that's really it. If you're turning a profit, you go up. If you're not, you go down.
So what can a moral compass.
Then people buy your desiccated remains.
So yeah. Like on your deathbed, could you sell, like, one thing and just, like, just enough to put you over?
Right.
Could you're you like, be I'm making profit.
That's an interesting idea. I don't know. Because it almost sounds like the bar like your business has to be turning a profit maybe or something, but yeah, like what if you just die when you happen to be on like a small downslope? Too bad,
like straight to hell, sorry.
Like literally you're looking at a chart and every up is good and every
well, especially if it affects your like everlasting soul.
Yeah, I'm almost a little surprised they gave Ferengi souls.
Like, right? It
seemed like they kind of just wanted to be like, nah.
There's well, probably then... a box outside the pearly gates, like where you put your slips of Latinum in to get admitted. The bio in.
Everything probably. In heaven has a tipping included with it.
They're like, I've got 10 bars of Latinum. Is that enough to get me in?
Well, because especially, like you said, they sell off the body parts of the people to try and make money. So it seemed like they had a much less religious concept of the whole thing.
Right.
It's all just business.
They're like
business.
Pokemon. You got to collect them all.
I guess. Oh, man.
Well, that's kind of weird, too, then, because, like they don't mock the Bajorans, but it's, like, they kind of talk about, like, their religion, but then, yeah, with, like, Ferengi religion, like, the fact that they do have, like, a faith of something is interesting. Yeah.
Something.
The Grand Negus. Well, yeah, and then they talk about... how the Federation, how humans have developed versus Ferengi. And he's like, in 5,000 years, they did what took us 10. And he's like, 5, 10, who cares? And I'm like, well, that means moving forward, you guys might get outpaced. Who knows? Like, but it was interesting to see that.
Because he said they had to buy warp drive from the Klingons?
Yeah, Ferengi bought warp drive from some, but yeah.
From somebody,
yeah. Might have been the Romulans. But yeah, they had to buy warp.
Oh, they actually didn't say. He said we had to buy warp technology from the, and then it was 5,000, 10,000. What's the difference? So he cut them off before they said, but that they had to, that is, they had to buy their way in, which totally makes sense. Like, that's exactly the way
they do
with everything. But yeah, that was an interesting one to me, just that development, kind of how humans are viewed by these other races.
Yeah, they think humans are stupid and stuff, but yet it took us, it took them twice as long to develop everything as it did us. So,
Probably because all the buying, selling, and backstabbing got in their way. Like,
damn capitalism.
Who knew?
I think Ferengis just remind me of like Napoleon syndrome in A Race, you know? Like that's
kind
that's
of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look at their houses. They're like little hobbit houses. Like the doorways are just like 3 feet tall.
That's all they need.
And it always rains.
Yep.
Maybe the seasonal depression just like got them down for centuries on end.
It's,
I don't know.
It's just depression. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
not seasonal.
They're like, oh, yeah, we have 246 words for rain or something like that.
Oh, man.
Someone needs to get into like to the umbrella market. Make a gold mine.
Well, that's why their lobes developed like that, because it sheds the water off around their ears. It's like evolution took care of it.
It's for watershed. Well, yeah, and when they're talking about all the different stuff, they're like the nuclear bombs, and they're like, they're irradiating their own planet? Like, why would you set that off in the atmosphere? And then the tobacco, and he's like, they'll buy poison to, like, ingest into themselves? Mm-hmm. Like,
I like these people. Stupid.
They're way stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's like alcohol. It's, you know, we're like, you know,
yeah.
we drink poison and ruin our livers, but it's fun. It's so fun. Yeah.
Pretty much.
They'll buy poison, they'll buy anything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
True.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
It is a good one. I did really like this. The Dave-o-meter on this is going to be pretty high. I am going to say, despite timey-wimey bullshit, this is a 9. I really liked this one.
All right.
Wow.
And I think most of it has to do with, even though it had the timey-wimey, is they tied that into, you know, actual history and kind of that whole shrouded in mystery thing and what happened at Roswell and so on. So, and they did it perfectly. Like I said, they got all the details right. And there's not a lot because the government covered up whatever happened. But
welcome to the Tinfoil Hat Club. I'm your host, Bill.
Sorry, if somebody announced that it was that, and then they're like, oh, never mind, it's a balloon. I'm like, even I'm like, it was something. I don't know if it was aliens, but it was something.
Fair. It's fair.
All right. I think that's all I got on this.
Okay.
Memory Alpha has been tapped. it's about a... about as much as I can see on here.
You can just end it. That's okay.
It's... I was going to say, Stephanie, where can people
drag this out?
Is there anything you want to plug? Where do people find you on the internet?
Oh, for me? Yeah, sure. Let's do this again. So I am Desert Rose Cosplay on all the social medias, and on TikTok, I am Stephanie Rose Star Trek. So you can find me there. X, I am also Desert Rose Cosplay, and yeah, pretty much you can find me on there. I'm pretty much always online doing Star Trek-y stuff.
Awesome. Yay. And you have a project coming up, some kind of documentary thing or something, I think we've mentioned in the past episodes.
Stony Brosis and I that do the Star Trek convention together every year in Vegas, and we also just did San Francisco. We are working on a documentary series that we are going to be filming in August in Vegas. So if you are at the Star Trek Vegas show and you see us filming, please feel free to come by, because, you know, people were too afraid to talk to us last time when we were filming. So I would love the interaction. But yeah, it's going to be great. It's all about cosplay and the effect that cosplay has on the community and how it brings people together. So very wholesome, very uplifting topic.
Awesome.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Yep. If you're going to that con, go up and say hi. We're hoping to be there too. Got some life stuff we got to shuffle around, and we'll see how it happens. But they went last year, or Jeff went last year.
Phil,
you didn't go last year, huh? No,
Jeff was
busy. Yeah, I was busy progenating. Is that a word?
I think so.
Progenating.
So
my kid was being born. My kid was being born, so I couldn't make it last year. But we all three made it the year before, even did a panel there. So we do love that convention. That was a lot of fun.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jeff, are you going to do our closeout?
Sure.
You going to take us home?
All right. So you can go to our website, thenerdtrekpodcast.com. where we have links to our bios, and you can see our faces doing things. You can go to either Cafe Press or the other
bonfire
that we also use, depending on what you would like to purchase, because there's a variety of things. And I've heard that our shirts are quite comfortable.
And the undies look cute.
Yes, they're adorable. They if they came in my size, I would wear them.
Yes.
There's that. And then we have other shows. What's on the graphic behind David's head? 10 Minute Expert that he does, where he explains nerdy things in 10 minutes or less. Or the Movie Club that I do, where I talk about nerdy or movies with other movie fans. Cool. Yeah, that's what we got, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. Tiny correction. Our website is thenerdtrek.com or nerdtrekpodcast.com. If you go to thenerdtrekpodcast.com, you will find nothing.
So, yes. So if you're
there's nothing there.
Once you're done altering the timeline because humans are stupid, then you can go leave a 5-star rating and review on wherever podcasts are sold.
Not bad.
I remember that one.
Not bad.
Good job.
Yes, anywhere pods are casted, you'll find us there. Yeah. All right, that's it for this episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.